Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 have some very specific and very good instruction for us concerning the Word of God. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 say this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now verse 2 is the verse that we want, and it says this, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So today we want to talk about preaching. And we hope to accomplish a couple of things by this preaching today. First of all, you may be called to preach. And if you are called to preach, then this exhortation will encourage you on the things to contain in your preaching. The things to do concerning your preaching. If you're not called to preach, but you listen to preaching on a regular basis, that will help you to understand some things that are necessary in preaching. In other words, to distinguish that which is good from that which is not as good or as beneficial. So today we're going to talk about preaching. And when we do, we'll say these few little things from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. First of all, we are to preach biblically. We are to preach biblically. Notice what he said. Preach the word. Preach the word. Now, because I preach and because I train men how to preach and have been trained how to preach, I am aware of something that may not be as obvious to you, and that is this. Some people, when they preach, go to the Bible, they find out what the Bible says, and then they preach what God says in the Bible. That's called preaching biblically. Then you have another group that come up with a thought in their own mind that they want to convey, a point they want to make, a topic they want to preach, and then they go to the Bible to reinforce that topic. That's not preaching biblically. That's preaching humanistically and using the Bible to reinforce the humanistic topic. Now, that may not seem like a great distinction to you, but that is a chasm of difference. There is a chasm of difference in preaching what the Bible says and then preaching the doctrine or the topic that you want to preach and using the Bible to reinforce it. I remember, for instance, years ago when Rick Warren's book, The 40 Days of Purpose or whatever that thing, the purpose-driven life. When that thing first came out, somebody said, hey, would you read this? One of the things that alerted me right away is that he used 18 different translations of the Bible. Were there some things in the book that were good? Yes, no doubt. They really were. They were very helpful. But what I noticed right away is that he was using principles that he had learned in the ministry, principles that he observed, principles that he had learned, even I think probably some psychology, and had to go to those 18 different translations of the Bible in order to find the one that was worded just like he wanted it to be worded to reinforce the point that he was making. Do you understand? And so when he did that, that's not biblical preaching. That's preaching that's preaching Rick Warren, not preaching the Bible. And there's a vast difference there. Preaching biblically is a thing where you go to the Bible and you read and you study, and then God impresses upon your mind and impresses upon your heart a topic, a subject, a passage, a verse, and then you expound out of the Scriptures that topic or that verse. Today we're preaching a verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy 4:2, and we are preaching this. It's called a textual sermon because we're preaching a text. And you're going to find that the things that we say come directly from that verse of Scripture. And the first thing we said is that when you preach, preach biblically. That is, preach the Word. Many years ago, there was a slave that had been freed. His name was John Jasper. And he built a church in Richmond after he was freed that turned out to be a bigger and better church than the seminary-trained preachers had built. So they got together and they called John Jasper in to ask him how it was without an education, how it was without formal training, how it was having been freed, emancipated as a slave, he was able to build such a good work in Richmond, Virginia. They wanted to know his secret, and he said it's very simple. He said to them, when you take your text, you go to your commentaries, you go to your seminary notes, you want to find out what other men have had to say about God's Word. And then you go in your pulpit and you tell them what men have to say about God's words. He said, when I take my text, I go to my knees and I find out what God said. And then when I go to my pulpit, I tell them what God said. And he said, you know something about people? They don't want to know what man said about God's Word. They want to know what God said. Now, there's a lot of truth in that. That's a very profound statement. You know what the difference between John Jasper was and those seminary-trained professors? Very simply, he preached biblically, and they didn't. He preached biblically, and if you're going to preach, preach biblically. Preach the Word. If you're going to listen to preaching that is biblical, that comes from the Word of God, not from man, not from man's philosophy, not from psychology, not from his thoughts, not from his notes, not from his desires, his motives, or his wishes. Preach that Word. The second thing about preaching is this. Preach not only biblically, but preach pointedly. Preach pointedly, he says, or actually, let's do the second part. Preach constantly. Preach constantly. Be instant in season, out of season. Be instant in season, out of season. Preach constantly. What's the problem? Well, the problem is you don't always feel like preaching. The problem is sometimes you wake up and you're bone tired. On an ordinary week, I'll preach 9 or 10 times. On an ordinary week. There's 5 radio broadcasts. The material has to be worked up. It has to be prepared. It has to be studied, prayed over, and developed into a message. 5 times. Wednesday night, another message. Sunday morning Sunday school, another message. Sunday morning church, another message. Sunday night church, another message. Every one of these distinct. All right, so that's 5 radio broadcasts, Wednesday night, twice on Sunday morning. That's 8. Sunday night, that's 9. Every other Wednesday, I'm in the nursing home preaching yet another message. And then we have a men's Bible study, but I have help on that, so I'm not always teaching that. So 9 or 10 times a week. And I'm going to tell you, doing that day after day after day can be grueling. And there are times, like now, my voice is affected from a recent trip to the Philippines, where it's out of season. The time right now in my mind and in my body is 14 hours ahead of where I am right now. So 4 o'clock in the afternoon, for instance, on Tuesday is like 6 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, and the body has to recover from that. I'm going to tell you, that's out of season. While I was in the Philippines, I got a throat infection and was required to preach on a couple of occasions, actually, when my body was racked. And there was a fever and my throat was affected, and then later my sinuses affected by what was going on in my body, the infection that was being fought off. And yet, when that time came, by God's grace, by His strength, Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, or take pleasure in my infirmities, the power of Christ may rest upon me. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient. God's grace and strength are made perfect in weakness. That's why Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And trusting the grace of God, we were able to get through those messages, not as a testimony to me, but as a testimony to God. And so preach constantly. Listen, if you're called to preach and God has given you the message, and I believe every time, I believe this, every time that a preacher has the opportunity to preach, God has the message. And he has the message for those people to whom that preacher is going to preach. And he is waiting on that preacher to make himself available and to prepare himself. We had a radio listener that called one time, said he was called to preach. And he asked me, he said, when you're preparing to preach, do you find that the Lord spends more time with you preparing the message or preparing the messenger? That is a profound question. I thanked that guy and told him I would never forget that question because the very wording of it was instructive to me. By all means, the messenger needs to be prepared. God has the message. Obviously, the message needs to be prepared, but that's not more important than preparing the messenger. So when the messenger is prepared and God has the message, even though his body might be racked with pain, even though he may feel very, very incapable, the power of Christ, the grace of God is sufficient. And so, listen, you preach in season, out of season. Maybe you have a hostile crowd. Maybe you've got a group that doesn't want to listen to you. You know what you do? You preach. You preach. Preach, preach, preach. Preach biblically. Preach constantly. And then this, preach pointedly. Preach pointedly. Look what he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Three things. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. To exhort somebody is just like the way a coach gets the best out of his team. He's on the sideline. Sometimes he's hollering, screaming, jumping up and down. Sometimes he's very calm. He knows his players. He knows the circumstance. He knows whether they need more energy poured into their game or whether they need to calm down and make clearer-headed decisions. Whatever it is, over there, he exhorts them by instructing them in the thing they need to know for that very moment to be able to bring out the best in themselves, to bring out what needs to be done. Same way with a preacher. We exhort people all the time to get closer to Christ, to get further from sin, to stay in the Bible, to be growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all those other things. It's just an exhortation. A rebuke is a very, very stern, kick in the pants, if you will. And I'll tell you what, they used to say about good preachers, they get in the pulpit and they shell the corn, they used to say. And that's a preacher that can talk right to you from the pulpit. He's not pointing you out. He's not calling you out. I've seen preachers do that. That's horrible. That's the work the Spirit of God is supposed to do. But they're able to preach that word of God with such power, with such strength, with such rebuke in the word of God, that the Spirit of God then can make application throughout the congregation wherever it is needed in order to help people's lives change. Then he says to reprove. To reprove is a little milder than a rebuke, but nevertheless, it is a way of correcting somebody that is out of line. To show them, hey, this isn't right, and to make the change. A little gentler than a rebuke, but nevertheless an instruction that is negative. And listen, when you listen to a preacher and all he knows how to do is say positive things, he is not preaching pointedly. He is not preaching truthfully. He is not reproving. He is not rebuking. He is not pointing out sin. He is not chasing you away from sin. That man is not doing his job. He's not preaching the word. He's not doing what he was charged to do in this text by God Almighty. He is abrogating his responsibility because he's trying to win a popularity contest to keep the money flowing in, to keep the size of the congregation up, and to keep the people encouraged. And their lives won't change with that. You know, when I look at these ministries that are so popular and their preachers are just constantly smiling, constantly giving you encouraging information, constantly dwelling on the positive, I know I'm dealing with a charlatan because he's not preaching pointedly. He's not preaching truthfully. He's not directing this stuff to the areas of life that need it. Sin, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Sin is not a positive thing. Death and hell are not positive things. And people that are going there need somebody who can get that telescopic finger of the preacher stuck right down on the tip of their nose and tell them, hey, buddy, the Lord's talking to you. Now, the funny thing about it is, and I've watched this, whenever I stand in the pulpit and I'm the one trying to direct the preaching to a specific person in the congregation that needs it. I used to do that years and years ago. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. They sense right away that you're talking to them. They sense right away that you're shielding yourself by a pulpit to deal with a problem that they should have been dealt with face to face. Doesn't work. Backfires. Miss everybody. You get up there and you preach with great boldness the Word of God, just what it says, then the Holy Spirit has the liberty to make application all around the congregation just like He wants, and to speak to every heart just like He wants, where one person out of that message is being exhorted, another person is being reproved, another person is being rebuked, because you're standing there boldly allowing the Holy Spirit to do with the Word of God what He wants to do as you reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So Paul says to Timothy, preach biblically, preach constantly, preach pointedly or truthfully. And then this, preach patiently with all long suffering. You know, the first time that a preacher stands in the pulpit to make a point out of the scripture, the people aren't going to change. They're not going to change. They're not going to change the second time he brings up that subject, or the third, or the fourth. Many times he will preach along the lines of a particular subject a dozen times before anybody begins to make a move toward change in that area of their lives. Oftentimes a preacher will preach along the line of a particular topic in the Bible here and there over a period of time, and then a visiting preacher will come in. And he'll preach one sermon on that subject, and all of a sudden you'll see the altar flooded with people who are repenting and making a change. And you think to yourself as a preacher, man, I've preached that subject a dozen times. What does that evangelist have on me? What does that pastor have on me that the people here were suddenly able to move? Well, he doesn't have anything on you. What he's done is he's preached the same thing that you've preached. But you know what? It came from a different voice. It came from a different embodiment. It came from a different perspective. And suddenly, the eyes and hearts and minds of the people were open to respond to that thing. But if you hadn't laid that groundwork a dozen times over the last 3 years on the same subject, when that preacher came, he wouldn't have had any more effect on the people than you did. It doesn't appear that the Word of God is having an effect, but it is. It is. It's just that a lot of minds are stony. A lot of necks are hard. A lot of hearts are as hard as flint. And, you know, they're adamant as a stone. And you know what it takes? It takes repeated preaching along a certain line over a period of time, from time to time, to begin to chip away at the hardness and crust and the fatness that has grown over that heart. Don't become discouraged just because you preached on a subject and nobody moves. The first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year. Stay with it. Stay with it. Preach patiently. In time, they'll come around. Many years ago, when we lived in another city, I had a neighbor. And from time to time, he and I would sit in his backyard. He had a nice porch. And we'd talk. And the subject in our conversations would turn often to the gospel. And I'll tell you, so many different times I preached the gospel to him, and he didn't get saved. He didn't even budge, didn't even see his need of salvation. And I thought to myself, is this just a waste of time? And then I heard that he was in the hospital. I had gone off to Bible school by this time, and I was home on a break, and I'd heard that he was in the hospital. And man, I was so concerned for him. So I drove to the hospital. We were living in Beeville at the time. He was in the hospital in Corpus Christi. And I was so concerned that the Lord would give us time to be able to talk, that nurses wouldn't come in, that, you know, the monitors wouldn't beep, that the IV wouldn't beep, and we could have some time. A phone wouldn't ring. Somebody else wouldn't come to visit him. And sure enough, we had time. His wife was there. She was saved. And I walked in. They were glad to see me. She bowed her head as soon as she began to hear me preach the gospel yet one more time. But I'm going to tell you something. On that occasion, my dear neighbor got saved. And you say, well, that's remarkable. It is, because 9 days later, he died. 9 days. You say, what was that? Just preaching patiently with what Paul said here, with all long suffering. Don't give up on people just because they haven't come around. They'll come around. Stay with it long enough. You know, unless they're really hardened, then they'll leave. Somebody else will occupy the seat. So when you're preaching, preach biblically. Preach constantly, preach truthfully, preach patiently. It takes people time. And listen, by the same token, if you're not preaching, but you're listening to preaching, and you hear the preacher come along the same line from time to time, don't become discouraged because you hear him preach on tithing for the third time in 2 years. You know, don't become frustrated with that. You're already tithing, you're already faithful in your giving, don't worry about that. Be exhorted to continue doing what you're doing. There are perhaps other people in the congregation that need it the third and fourth time before they're going to come around. That's okay. Don't become discouraged if your pastor preaches salvation more than any other topic, particularly on Sunday mornings. Don't become discouraged with that. Why? Because there's always lost people, particularly in a good-sized church on Sunday morning, that need the gospel. I'm usually very careful when I'm preaching on Sunday morning to give a lot of doctrinal stuff to feed the sheep, but I'm never close a sermon without giving an opportunity for somebody to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't want folks to become weary with that. It takes long suffering. Some people I've watched sit through services for 6 months before they get saved, and the constant preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is what finally brings them around. So preach biblically, preach constantly, preach truthfully, preach patiently, and then this, preach doctrinally. Preach doctrinally. Look at this. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, a lot of people like to preach emotionally and get a crowd stirred up. They like to get people motivated and all that kind of thing. Well, listen, I certainly like to see people motivated to do things, but you can't live on motivation. In the passages up here in 2 Timothy, right before the passage we're preaching, and he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's the first thing on the list. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen, they need doctrine. He says here in verse 3, the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is what they need. So make sure when you're preaching that you have drawn out the depth of the riches of the doctrine of the Scripture. You know, don't just deal with pretty illustrations and superficial and surface topics. Somebody said about the megachurch movement, they're a mile wide and an inch deep. One of the reasons that it's only an inch deep, there's nothing wrong with being a mile wide. There's something wrong with being an inch deep. And one of the reasons that it's only an inch deep is that there's this constant feeding of milk. Because you're dealing with immature Christianity through the whole time. And the reason they're not growing is doctrine. And I know what's in the heart of the preacher. The preacher says, well, if I get into that heavy doctrine, then they're going to leave our church just like they left all the other churches to start coming here to listen to our rock and roll music and our motivational sermons. And listen, people cannot grow without doctrine. It's not the doctrine that's the problem. It's the shallowness of the people. They will not endure sound doctrine. Paul didn't say quit preaching doctrine because they will not endure sound doctrine. He said preach doctrine even though they will not endure sound doctrine. He said don't change your preaching just because they're changing. So if you're a preacher and you're hearing this today, be encouraged to stay in the doctrine of the book. There is such depth, there are such riches, there's such untold a depth of doctrine in the Bible. You know, you and I are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to realize we got about 10% of this book, and we're going to learn so much more when he's showing us things in the ages to come that we just did never see in this book. But boy, there are a lot of things that we did see. And you think, well, that's just boring. People don't want to hear that. They may not want to hear it, but they need to hear it. And let me tell you something. If you're patient in your preaching, long-suffering in your preaching, you know some people that wouldn't endure sound doctrine at the beginning will turn around and endure it later. Not all of them will leave. Not all of them will leave. A lot of them will stick around. Listen, we've got a church full of people that love doctrine, and I'll tell you, when they first start coming here, and they've been coming for about 6 months, they say the same thing. I've heard it. I've heard it a dozen times. If I've heard it once, they'll say to me, "Preacher, we've learned more Bible in 6 months of sitting under your preaching than we did in 20 years in the church we attended before." Now, I let me tell you something. I'm not saying that to you to boast about my preaching. I'm saying that to encourage you to preach doctrine. They said that to me not because I'm a better preacher than they had before. They said that because they are really getting doctrine in the preaching. That's the difference. That's the difference. So when you preach, preach biblically, preach constantly, no matter how you feel, preach truthfully, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Get to the point. Preach patiently. It takes a long time for people to come around. Preach doctrinally. And if you, let me tell you something. If you've got a pastor, if you've got a pastor and you've been a little frustrated, you've been thinking about leaving, and he's preaching just the way you heard outlined here, don't leave that man. If you're having some sort of difficulty, go to him and say, "Preacher, I'm sorry, we've just been having some difficulty here." And look, put that, to get on your knees with your pastor. You pray together. Don't leave that good man. Support him in prayer and draw close. Reconcile any differences that you may have. And let me tell you something else. If you're sitting under a pastor who's not doing that, follow the leadership of the Spirit of God and get you one who does, because you need it. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.